Hello and welcome to the Dream Swarm podcast. This is your home for supernatural film, stories and art. I'm your host, magic realist filmmaker Andy Mark Simpson. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Hello everyone and welcome to the next episode of the Dream Swarm podcast. It's been a while since we've done a podcast together, so I'm really pleased to be back and to be doing another episode. And this episode is a bit different. It's just me today rather than having a special guest. And it's something that I wanted to talk about because this week we had the death of the British film director Terence Davies. And Terence Davies had been a big influence on myself as a director, and is someone who really explored some themes that I'm really interested in and a style that I'm really interested in. So that prompted me to get launching a new episode of the podcast and to talk about some of those themes that I like and what I like about Terence Davies' work. And it's something that we can continue the conversation in social media afterwards as well. So on to Terence Davies then. So as a way of introduction to the filmmaker, Terence Davies was born in 1945 in Liverpool, working class family, and died just recently this week in October 2023. Davies had a career spanning about 50 years, although there were often large gaps in between his films. He only made about 10 films in that period due to often to funding issues. But some of the films he's made are considered some of the best British films of all time, and him himself has been one of the best British directors of all time. And just for me personally, he's been a big influence on some of my filmmaking. So I wanted to just do this episode in recognition of Terence Davies and what I admire about his work. Regular listeners to Dream Swarm will know that I love magic realism, and I know that's a hard thing to define and it means different things to different people. Maybe the magic realism is in the eye of the beholder, but I would say that Terence Davies is someone whose work I would describe as magic realism, in particular his autobiographical type films. So that's something that's been a big influence on me and in the style that I get drawn to, and his themes as well are something that I'm drawn to often. So passage of time, the way time affects people, the way it affects places, that's something that I'm drawn to and that he explores in depth. And also the nature of memory and what memory means and how memory can impact the past, present and future at the same time. And I think that's really fascinating, and Terence Davies treats that in a really fascinating way in a lot of his films as well. So that's something else that I'm really drawn to. So Terence Davies made some films which were adaptations of other works, Sunset Song for example, and some period dramas that were adaptations. Other parts of his work are ones that he created and originated himself. Some are based on poets, Emily Dickinson and Siegfried Sassoon. But he also made some films which are considered autobiographical or semi-autobiographical, and they're the ones I'm most going to talk about on this one. I think that's more definitive of Terence Davies. When you look at Terence Davies' filmography, it reads almost like a poem. He's got the most poetic titles. So just to give you some examples, in his trilogy there's Madonna and Child, there's Death and Transfiguration, The Long Day Closes, Distant Voices, Still Lives, Sunset Song, The Neon Bible, Deep Blue Sea, Of Time and the City,
A Quiet Passion.
These are really poetic titles, so that's partly what I like about them, is just that those great titles. But I'm going to look at some of those autobiographical films and the nature of memory on them. I wrote my master's thesis about Terence Davies, so I've got a few kind of views on some of his autobiographical films, and I was talking about the nature of memory in those films, time and memory, and how memories can insert themselves unexpectedly, and in particular to deal with trauma. So some of the adaptations he made had trauma due to war, whereas Terence Davies' autobiographical films, the Second World War does feature in those to some extent, but they're mainly trauma due to violent father figure in his family. And Davies, like similar filmmakers, explores memory and how that's impacted and ruptures are caused with due to trauma. And in that way, I'd put films such as Distant Voices, Still Lives in line with other non-linear films that explore memory through trauma. So films like Rashomon by Kurosawa, Last Year at Marienbad by Alain Resnais, Memento by Christopher Nolan. All those films are non-linear films which show how trauma can impact memory in various ways. And my favourite Davies film is Distant Voices, Still Lives, and I think that does the same. And It shows the unreliability of memory due to trauma, and it does that in a few different ways, as does some of Davies' other films such as The Long Day Closes and his trilogy of short films. So it's non-linear structure, associational structure, so there's no plot to these films. A memory might be sparked and then that sparks another memory and then that follows into another incident. It's all done in an associational way rather than to fit a narrative or a plot structure, and I think that's really interesting in the way of taking things where you're not understanding the context. Things can spring up from the past almost uninvited, these kind of shards of memories that come in and burst into the present without a context. And also the devices to bring that about aren't what you might expect. There are no standard flashback devices in these films. Memory's very fluid and the flashbacks are just as vivid. So even though I believe these memories are presented as being unreliable, they're still presented as being vivid. The cinematography doesn't have kind of blurred effects or muted sound. In fact, the vision and the sound is very clear. I would just argue that there's sometimes some falseness in the vision that's being presented. So sometimes it comes in that context with not these non-linear associational structures. But also, one of my favourite things about Davies is there's a disruption of the link between sound and image. So what you expect in cinema is some kind of level of verisimilitude, and we are used to, since the 1930s, having sound alongside the vision. So when we hear dialogue, we see the people doing the talking. Davies has these brilliant moments where distant voices still lives. The opening shot is of a staircase. It comes into a hallway and looks up a staircase of a family house, and it's an empty staircase. Yet we hear the family members walking up and down the stairs, talking to each other, calling on each other, but we don't see them, so we're not sure whose memory we are looking at this through. The time seems to be unclear. What is in the past, what is in the present, what is in the future? And I just thought that was fascinating the way he did that, and it's something that I've tried to put in a couple of short films myself, and it's a technique that I like to play with in future as well, that disruption between the sound and the image. Davies also does a thing where he presents clear visions of memories, but I would say the details aren't accurate. I think they deliberately have anomalies of the mise-en-scene, if I can use a media term there, but basically the production design and the lighting is deliberately falsified. So there's a scene in The Long Day Closes, which was one of his autobiographical films, and it's a Christmas scene, yet the dinner table set outside the house. So they've got an exterior wall of the house with snow on it and a dinner table there and a Christmas tree, but also a birthday cake. So it's almost as if it's a conflation of different memories all crammed into one, vivid but not accurate. Davies uses memory in a way that's emotional rather than the verisimilitude of it. Scenes are cut for the pure emotion. I don't think it's done in an intellectual way either, though it's not dumbed down. I think it's cut on pure emotion. So I think that aspect of trauma causes those and these kind of what's being described as shards of memory coming in and out. So those structures and the way it changes the sound and the vision and the mise-en-scene is really fascinating. And then the other thing I like about these films, which is slightly contradictory, where I said the memories are kind of out of control because of trauma coming in a contradictory way, I also think memories are presented as false by the level of authorial control by the filmmaker. There's a presence of a cinematic narrator function, a quite conspicuous function of that narrator that guides us through the memories in certain times. So there's a shot in The Long Day Closes, a long sequence where it starts with an overhead shot of the main character, the kid playing on the stairs, and this overhead shot turns into a cinema audience overhead, and then overhead of a church, then overhead of a school, and then back to overhead of the stairwell. And a different to that overhead one seems like a kind of omniscient narrator function, but that shot also turns into a point of view shot towards the end for what it cuts to. And there are a few moments where shots might begin as a neutral profile shot, and then there'll be a pan and actors address the camera directly, and that has become a point of view shot even during the same shot. And there's a few different camera moments like that across his autobiographical films where it calls into question whose memories we're looking at, whose point of view is it. And the presence of this cinematic narrator technique is more obvious to the audience. Davies does that a few times with different camera movements, which are quite interesting. What I was thinking about is that it brings into question in this notion of a film always showing what's in the present. Even so, if you have a flashback, you kind of jump back into that moment and you relive that flashback, but you're watching that in a present that you've now been put in. But some of Davies' movements have this kind of meanwhile function that is hard to pick out in other films. So there's a one in Distant Voices Still Lives, a family after an accident are at a bedside of a hospital patient, and it pans to the window, stares at an empty window for a few seconds, and then pans back to the bedside, yet it's other family members in the bed and around the bedside, and that's all being done without a cut. So it seems to be placing two events at once at the same time rather than cutting back and forward between them. So that's a really fascinating camera move as well, which you can check out in Distant Voices Still Lives. And another argument I'd have for this conspicuous presence of a cinematic narrator function is the fact that Davies uses aspects of 1950s movies. He actually has lines of dialogue from Ealing comedies, for example, in his movies that comment on the action that's being seen. So we're not just looking at a memory from the point of view of a character in the movie, but that memory is being commented on by the use of lines from other movies in there, and also by the use of music. So there's a lot of folk songs and early 1950s jazz-based pre-rock and roll pop songs as well, and these are sung by the characters some of the time in pubs, but there are other times where they are used as non-diegetic music that is commenting on the scenes that we're watching. And I think one of the most prominent uses of music is, or the most moving ones, is in his documentary that he made about his childhood in Liverpool and about the city of Liverpool called Of Time and the City. And that has a scene where the Peggy Lee song The Folks Who Live on the Hill is placed over images of family homes in the 40s and 50s, and then how those family homes are being knocked down, those old slums, in the 60s and 70s. And you've got the past kind of tense of these images, black and white documentary archive images of these homes and what's happening to those, and you've got a contrast in the hopeful future tense lyrics of The Folks Who Live on the Hill saying we'll settle down, have a family, we'll grow old in these, building a home together, whilst you've got these buildings being knocked down. So I think that really lets the audience in to think about their own homes and their own childhoods, and you've got the past and future playing there together at the same time, which I think again is symptomatic of the way time works in a Terence Davies movie, is that memories and events can come in between the past, present and future. So I think it's really fascinating and really unique outlook on filmmaking as well from Terence Davies. I don't think he kind of looks to imitate other filmmakers. He does what feels right to him, and the grammar of those films is very different to what you might find in narrative films, and it's just something that I find really fascinating, and as I say, it's something that I'm looking to learn from, and there may be aspects that I borrow in the future for some of the films that I might want to make, especially ones that might look at the passage of time and some of those techniques about separating the image and the dialogue. I think that's really interesting as well, and something I want to try in future. So the next thing I want to talk about is just summing up some other reasons why I like Terence Davies films. And one of the things I really like about it is music, as I said, is really interesting, and I've realized that there's a few songs that I've played at open mic nights and I've tried to learn that I've discovered in Terence Davies films. So things like The Long Day Closes, Whaley Whaley, folk song You Belong to Me, jazz song, they're ones that I picked up from Terence Davies films. And the other thing that I got fascinated by, which was kind of reintroduced to me by Terence Davies films, is certain poets. So T.S. Eliot wrote the Four Quartets, which I now read about once a year, as Terence Davies read once a year, and those poems are just full of brilliant lines about time and memory and the past, present and future kind of interacting with each other. And Terence Davies' films feel like that as well. There's a great line in the Four Quartets, which is, the roses had the look of flowers that are looked at. And I think that really works with Terence Davies' kind of authorial control over the memories as well, how memories change when you look at them again. So T.S. Eliot, Four Quartets, it was a big influence on Davies and is now an influence on me as well. And the other thing I'd say is A. Houseman, and Davies uses in Of Time in the City, he uses a Houseman poem, which is, into my heart an air that kills from yon far country blows. What are those blue remembered hills? What spires, what farms are those? That is the land of lost content. I see it shining plain, the happy highways where I went and cannot come again. I think that's a great summary of the essence of time and memory in Davies' films. So they're just some of the reasons why I like his movies and how it's been an influence on me. And I thought I'd just end with where you might start. If you've got all the way through this podcast episode and you've not seen any Terence Davies films, but you're curious about them, where would you start? So in a more conventional sense, you might start with his adaptations of other works. So The House of Mirth, starring Gillian Anderson, or Deep Blue Sea with Rachel Weisz. Good period dramas. But I think to really get to the core of Terence Davies, you need to look at his autobiographical works. I think they are the most definitive Davies films. So Distant Voices, Still Lives is my favourite Terence Davies film. I'd be tempted to start with either that one or The Long Day Closes, which is a bit more light-hearted and a really good insight into Davies, the types of films he makes and why he makes them. And then after that, I would explore his documentary Of Time and the City, which is a really beautiful combination of poetry and archive footage. So they're places you might start. I've enjoyed just having a little chat about Terence Davies here and why I like Terence Davies. I'm keen to continue the conversation and other platforms as well, so you can follow us on social media. We're just at Dream Swarm on what was Twitter and on Facebook and Mastodon and other platforms. So if you'd like to recommend a Terence Davies movie or what your favorite Terence Davies moment is, then I'd love to continue this. And remember, you can follow us on those platforms and join us again for the next episode of Dream Swarm.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dream Swarm podcast. I've been your host, Andy Mark Simpson. We hope you'll join us for the next one. Remember, you can subscribe to stay in touch with future episodes and follow us at the website www.dreamswarm.org or follow on Twitter and Instagram at Dream Swarm. And we look forward to joining you for more supernatural film stories and art. In the meantime, be creative, be curious, be kind. We'll see you soon.